Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
It's Pensacola Morning News. Jimmy Patronis is on the line with us. Congressman, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. I'm live from Washington, D.C. today.
Oh, we get you from all over the place. We get you in your house. We get you on the road. We get you in D.C. We get you different times because I know your travel schedule is a little bit crazy, and I just appreciate you make time for us every week, which is great.
Sure.
It's hurricane season. I want to make sure and give you a moment to talk about that and what you think people ought to be doing. And, you know, it's every year. But, hey, if you're new or if you forget or if you take it for granted, it can be a problem, right?
Yeah, so look, we're no strangers to hurricanes, at least to most of us, whether it be if you were here as long ago as Dennis or Ivan, or most recently as Sally. I just want to just tell people the biggest thing, I'm going to put my old CFO's hat on. Take your smartphone, go film the outside of your house, talk to it, say what day it is, you know, point out that you have no trees or any damage to your house. Do the same thing inside. Take a picture of your closets, your TVs, your wardrobes, your floor coverings, and then email that to yourself. This is the one takeaway I want you to think about. If you have damage and you're going to have an insurance adjuster show up, an insurance adjuster, he's an investigator. He is there on behalf of the insurance company to figure out, what do we have to pay for? The good thing about it is if you've got photo evidence, video evidence on your phone from a date previous to the storm, now you've got some black and white record of showing what damage was caused by the storm and how it didn't exist prior to the storm. Just email it to yourself. And I'll also keep a copy of your policy, take some photos of it with your smartphone, email it to yourself. You'll have those there. And of course, you know, I think the biggest one people forget about, phone chargers and pharmaceutical drugs, and don't run your generators inside the house.
Absolutely. And for people who might have taken a longer video, it's too big for your email, you can always, you know, I mean, you can post it on YouTube to only you or Facebook to only you, or you can put it on Google Drive, something that might have a little bit more storage space for you. Just, yeah, exactly. Great advice. Absolutely great advice.
And here's the sad thing is let's say, God forbid, you're one of these homes that gets hit by a tornado. And you come back on, you have a slab, you will never remember what the heck your inventory of your house was.
Yeah, for sure.
You won't, you know, and so at least we get the video evidence, because you're going to have to document, this is what I lost, because they're only going to write you a check for what they owe you for.
Right.
So again, that little video evidence goes a long ways.
You know, one of the things we've obviously today been talking almost entirely the whole day about the property tax proposal that has come out of the House and the Senate now. They chopped it in half so that the school's fee is no longer on there, so you're not going to get a homestead exemption that would apply to the school fee. I find this very frustrating because I feel like the state is, you know, not willing to take the hit themselves for imposing this on us or giving us the choice to impose this on us, but they're willing to impose it on the counties and the cities. You know, the local legislators are losing their minds over this, and the state's like, why don't you tighten your belt, brother? What's your take on this whole thing?
So one of the things that I was bouncing, look, anybody can spitball this stuff, and I was talking to several legislators regarding policy. Look, I'm kind of like the gray hair around town. I have been through a property tax special session before back in 2009. And it's hard at the same time that you want to lower everybody's property tax bill. You also have those essential services, whether it be educating their kids, law enforcement, or our first responders.
Oh, well, thank you, phone system. Okay, that's fantastic. Would you pick it up and put him back on? Must be time to reboot the system from 1948 that we operate with. Hey, Jimmy, sorry about that. You right mid-sentence.
I was on the phone earlier.
We'll see if we can do better. Go ahead.
Yeah, so anyway, as these are things that we would like to adjust, you know, I told the some of the members, said, look, why don't you put a pretty aggressive proposal forward and then put a sunset provision on it. We're
right.
In 5 years. You know, then you get to hit a reset button. And if the voters still want it, then they can tell their legislators, hey, renew this, and you have a chance to re-vote for it. But what will happen is every state government, local government, regional government, special district, they're going to have to tighten their belt for whatever the period is. Say it's 5 years. And then that's going to reset button across the whole state. Every single constituent will say, oh, we can opt this amount of money as opposed to that amount of money. I'm going to be more engaging because I'm going to be a partner of this association where we try to do a better job managing our money.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that at sunset because Carlos Guillermo Smith, a Democrat in the Senate, actually proposed exactly that. And got no discussion. They just voted it down. And I'm like, dude, these are the good amendments that would make sense. But the Republicans, you know, feeling their oats and not wanting to disappoint DeSantis ahead of line item vetoes, just caved, just said, screw it. I don't care. We're going to do whatever he wants.
But this is DeSantis's, you know, strategy is I'm going to do this right now and leverage these guys because I haven't got the budget yet. And then, you know, and whoever doesn't, you know, play ball with me, I'm going to veto it. So, I mean, look, I think what they're proposing, is it horrible? Could it be better? Yes. Am I concerned about what this does to first responders and law enforcement? I am. I think there's probably some unintended consequences there. They've put some protection language in place, but I have not read line by line of the actual proposed amendment. But, you know, again, now it's going to go to the voters. It's going to have to get 60% ratification. There's going to be some unknowns about it. But what we do know is if the bill is too complicated, if the amendment's too complicated, it's hard to pass.
Yeah.
And so I think there's some nuanced issues to this that, you know, we'll be talking about between now and November.
Well, you know, I haven't really said this on the air, but my thought was they split off the schools portion of it specifically because they thought they'd get too much pushback. You know, people would vote it down because they didn't want to cut school funding. And which I understand. And my thought is, well, hey, split it into two amendments. Make one amendment to do the homestead for school board and one to end the homestead for regular property taxes. And then we'd really find out what the voters want. They did not do that either. We're talking to Jimmy Patronis. Sure. Hang on for just a second, Congressman. John Pickens, that's Traffic on the Fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you or delays. Everything is flowing smoothly in our area. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to our Congressman Jimmy Patronis. I want to make this is such a cool story that I want to make sure and get it told before in case our phone crap out on us again. But you had a chance to do something with the president and your son. This is a cool story. Tell it.
Yeah. So the White House has their team and their team has reached out from time to time. Hey, you know, Rep, we've got a OEM meeting with the president, which I didn't know that was coming. And so they would constantly kind of ping me from time to time. To remind me that this is going to be coming up. Well, they called like last Wednesday and said, hey, if you can be at the Oval Office on Tuesday at 2:00, we've got you a time set to meet with the president. Well, my boys were going to be up here in D.C. with me. And so I asked, can I bring the boys? They said, okay. So now we're set up to go to the office to meet the president at 2:00. So now I'm scrambling because I'm thinking, you know, in his office, I've only been in it once, but not privately. But I knew he had a 35 and a F-22 and a B-2 and an F-16 in there. So I go and I scramble. I called John Fay last week. I said, look, I've got to get an F-18 Blue Angel to have inside the president's office. I said, we've got to, you know, Northwest Florida's got to put a mark on there.
Yeah.
So John and the foundation scrambled. I mean, literally scrambled to create a F-18 Blue Angel model that is right now sitting on the president's desk. So if you look at any of the photos, like Ken Paxton yesterday evidently was with the president. Ken Paxton's photos that he posted, the Blue Angel is on the president's desk.
Nice.
So, you know, and the only thing the president, it was so funny. The thing, I'm talking some real inside baseball. So the only thing the president wanted to talk about is the difference between all the different airplanes. I mean, we probably spent the majority of our meeting talking about the difference.
Of course. Yeah. And I mean, that's, I love it. I love it that, we did lose him again, but he may call back. We'll see. 719 News Radio 92.3, but that's so cool. I love that. And it's going to stand out, right? The color is going to stand out on that plane and you're going to see that. And I can't wait to see the photos of it. And that's why I wanted to ask him before we lost him real quick. All right. 719 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson. Judge not that ye be not judged. Consider with me what that really means. That phrase is not a command against making judgments, but in contrast, Matthew 7, 1 through 6 is a command to judge properly. It's so easy to find fault in others, but the first rule of proper judgment is to consider and address your own faults. The second rule is to be sure that your judgments are clear and not clouded by a self-serving carnal agenda. Thirdly, don't waste your judgments on people who won't value them. For example, if you have a very valuable pearl necklace and you cast it into a pig pen, that would be foolish because the pigs don't understand the worth of the pearls. In the same way, you should be cautious with where you cast your valuable Bible-based judgments. So judge wisely.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
All right, we figured out the phones, and we're doing the weirdest radio segment ever because we got Jimmy back on the line. You were telling the story about the Blue Angel jet that you gave to the president. All he wanted to do was talk about the Blue Angels. Or talk about the difference between the planes.
And, of course, I had to point out to him, I said, well, look, he said, well, what other flight groups are out there? I said, well, you got the Thunderbirds, you got the Blue Angels. I pointed out to him and said, sir, I said, you know, that the Thunderbirds, they fly their F-16s, they have to use, you know, G-suits. And I said, the Blue Angels don't, you know. And so I just had to have a little bit of rivalry with him, little bit, you know. So, but anyway, every time now, hopefully, if this thing doesn't move, every time the president takes a photo in the Oval Office, you're going to see a Blue Angel jet from Northwest Florida sitting on his desk.
I love it. And this was yesterday?
Yeah.
So I don't know if you knew, yesterday was actually also the 10th anniversary of the crash for Jeff Koos that killed him, the number six back in Smyrna. So
I did not.
Yeah. Wild coincidence of that being the day that you're presenting him with the Blue Angel on his desk. Man, that's fantastic. Couple of other things I wanted to get to real quick is the Take It Down Act. This is the one that was Melania Trump's initiative that gets rid of the non-consensual and pornographic deepfakes. Here's what I don't know. It seems to me like the goal ought to be no deepfakes of voice or video of a person without their permission. And maybe you make an exception for public figures for, you know, political satire and things like that. But I don't know, man. I'm of the opinion that I should be able to know that a video is real. And if it's illegal to produce a deepfake of a real person without their consent, what do you think?
I'm sensitive to this issue. This is why I'm advocating for the PROTECT Act, which removes Section 230. Mm-hmm. Big tech and social media, they have got to make their content sticky. They've got to make it outlandish. They have got to keep you on your device so their ad dollars can continue to be collected. This is where they keep on pushing the envelope to put content out there that's inappropriate, illegal, at least illegal ethically, for their bottom line. And especially when it comes to our kids, they're not able to still process those type of images, messages, emotions. This is why, you know, you have these horrible stories of these, revenge porn issues that take place, and suicide evolves from it, you know?
Yeah, and we've got the push now from, you know, Uthmeyer on this as well here locally. I know you have to go, Jimmy. I know we've had a little bit of issues on the phones. I apologize for that. But I know you have to go to make another appointment here at 725. But I wanted to make you finish that Trump story because I thought it was so interesting and, you know, a wonderful coincidence of the timing of a horrible thing and a good thing as well. Jimmy Paternus, he's our congressman from Northwest Florida District 1. We'll talk to you again next week, sir. Thank you for the time.
Thanks, Andrew. Take care.
You bet. 723 here on News Radio. I put my own mic off.
Like, what were you doing?
I'm not a smart host, Jenny.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbary Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbary Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF 1106-7749. Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing ABC at the Fish House, featuring Rollins Distillery, Juneteenth at Five Sisters, Beer Festival, Father's Day, and Dinner with Strings Attached at Jackson Steakhouse, featuring the Pensacola Symphony, all today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Our Senators Ashley Moody and Rick Scott and Representative Jimmy Patronis are standing up for radio listeners like us by supporting legislation to keep AM radio in cars. They know the value of local radio in times of emergency. Now it's time for Congress to finish the job and pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act. Learn more at dependonam.com. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Pensacola's hurricane coverage headquarters is News Radio 92.3. With wall-to-wall coverage before, during, and after storms.
You must never forget the cardinal rule, Buffy. One vampire is a lot easier to kill than ten.
Does the word duh mean anything to you?
Hit it!
Does the word duh mean anything to you? Yeah, and I'm actually looking at that picture of Ken Paxton with President Trump yesterday, and there's the Blue Angel sitting there right on the Resolute desk, right on top of a bunch of books. So I don't know that it'll hold that position of prominence forever, but I love it that it's there right now. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on 9 Mile Road going westbound toward I-10, expect about a 3 to 4 minute delay. Also, 98 westbound coming into Gulf Breeze, experiencing a 5 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Good morning. The U.S. is putting sanctions on Iran's largest cryptocurrency exchange. The Treasury Department said yesterday that Novatex was helping the Iranian government evade sanctions. The exchange is accused of processing hundreds of millions of dollars for Iran's central bank and the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. Homeland Security Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen will be back on Capitol Hill today for more congressional testimony. Mullen's expected to lay out his Homeland Security budget for next year at today's hearing. His department has been criticized for ICE operations in several cities. And in Newark, New Jersey, they're lifting the curfew outside of an ICE detention center where protesters have been clashing with police. Things have been a little bit calmer the last couple nights since police took control of security from state police and ICE personnel. The state also filing a lawsuit demanding a full health inspection of the facility following allegations of unsanitary and inhumane conditions.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 437-1620. If you're in the market for the next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great selection of good quality, almost new, not quite new cars. You know, they've had one owner, maybe two. You're going to get it with 10 to 30 or 40,000 miles, 1 to 3 or 4 years young. We got ours with 12,000, I think. It's 12 or 13. I can never remember which. And it was a year old. It had gone, basically, it was a pre-owned certified that was put up for sale in Orlando, came back off of a lease. They tried to sell it for 90 days, and their rule was no sell in 90 days. We put it to auction. Frontier went down, bought a car, brought it back to us. We test drove it. It was exactly the color and trim package we wanted. We weren't looking for a car for about 6 months, but the price and everything about the car was exactly what we wanted. We're like, well, we really can't pass this up. So we bought it. And that was our experience. It was super easy. I loved working with them. And just that's why I talk about it, because Frontier's just different. You know, it was of all the car buying experiences I've ever had, this one was actually sort of pleasant. And I really appreciate them. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. A couple of notes. The Anti-Weaponization Fund, the 1776 Fund, is dead, apparently. Todd Blanche talking to the Senate yesterday. He's the acting attorney general.
The reasons for the fund is something that President Trump talked about for a long time, which is the fact that there were a lot of people in this country who had their government weaponized against them. The reasons for the fund, I think, were remain as important as they were before, but we are not moving forward with the fund.
Not moving forward ever.
Correct.
Now, there was some squabble over him putting it in writing, but essentially that's done. Now, remember, this started with a $10 billion lawsuit against the IRS, and the Department of Justice and the IRS and the Trump team all settled, which is Trump settling with Trump settling with Trump. Like, it's a weird scenario to begin with. In the process, the agreement was that there would be no prosecution of him or his family members for any prior tax issues. That still stays. So is this a case of Trump asks for the outrageous, then negotiates his way down to the less outrageous, and then eventually abandons that entirely and nobody notices because the thing you really wanted all along was buried in the subprint? Yeah, like, but that's true. You know, he got that part with, you know, everybody's just happy that we're not having to pay the almost $2 billion for this nonsense fund. Other interesting news. Oh, file this in the category of, oh, that poor woman. Or that lucky woman. New Jersey woman goes into a casino and hits the slot jackpot. But it turns out that she had self-registered on the state's lifetime gambling exclusion list for people with gambling problems in 2019. So they ejected her from the casino, called the police, you know, for trespassing. And now she may not even win the payout, which you got to be ineligible. This has happened before. People were ineligible before because they put themselves on the list. They can't take winnings. Otherwise, you know, you can't control yourself, right?
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The race for Los Angeles mayor will be decided this fall. Incumbent Karen Bass.
Serving the city that I love, where I was born, and I'm going to continue to do that all the way to victory in November.
Republican and reality TV star Spencer Pratt.
I'm going to prove to everybody this is for real, and I'm ready to run the city.
Prater Democrat Councilwoman Nithya Raman will face Bass on Election Day. Republican Steve Hilton and Democrat Javier Becerra and leaders in the race for governor. If the results hold, they will clash in the general election. In the Middle East, Kuwait briefly shutting down the country's main airport.
Overnight, Iran attacked both Kuwait and Bahrain with drones and missiles. Several people were injured and significant damage was caused to Kuwait's international airport.
Fox's Trey Yinks in Tel Aviv. One person was killed. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 73 degrees. It's cloudy here this morning. We'll get a look at our forecast in just a few minutes. The city of Pensacola formally pressing EMR Southern Recycling after the fifth fire now in 2 years at the South Myrick Street scrapyard. City Attorney Adam Cobb reportedly sent a letter to the facility earlier this week. Mayor D.C. Reeves says EMR has already reached out to set up a meeting.
So we're looking forward to hearing their side of the story, their discussion, what can be put in place. And again, you know, we've had some success with other issues that aren't necessarily. Doesn't mean we don't have the legal authority to go into private property and say someone can't operate something that's commercially allowed to operate there. But, you know, I certainly hope that we have community partners.
And Reeve says the initial investigation shows the facility was not complying with fire marshal instructions on scrap pile management, guidance the city had provided after earlier fires. No date has been set for the meeting yet. Mayor Reeves says the city is also looking at what legal tools it has to hold that facility accountable moving forward. Escambia County and Orange Beach now moving forward after a public dispute over a homeless man being dropped off at Pensacola's waterfront mission last week. County Administrator Wes Moreno says both sides met on Monday and they left with a more clear understanding.
Well, it's a battle for everybody. But the solution is not to just take your folks and go transport them to the next state or the next county.
Moreno says Orange Beach did commit to stopping the transporting of homeless individuals into Escambia County. Escambia made the same pledge in return. Commissioner Ashley Hoffberger, though, says this whole issue exposed an even larger problem they've seen buses from Birmingham and Montgomery areas regularly dropping people off in Pensacola as well. Well, AAA is launching a new campaign to help parents understand the risks of e-bikes and e-scooters as injuries involving young riders have continued climbing. Emergency room visits tied to the devices have jumped from 37,000 in 2017 to nearly 150,000 in 2024. In Florida, riders under 16 are required to wear helmets, but there is no minimum age to ride. AAA's e-ride safety guide is available online at sm.aaa/e-ride-ready. Governor Ron DeSantis backing a plan that he says will ensure Florida remains the gold standard in emergency management. The governor in Orlando yesterday, he was announcing the launch of the Coalition for Operational Readiness in Education, or CORE. He says it's a first-of-its-kind initiative and designed to bring together state agencies, colleges, and the private sector to strengthen the future of emergency management's workforce. Well, it was supposed to be a family attraction, but Crab Island in Destin wasn't quite that.
Crab Island erupted over the weekend with fights and arrest. It was another example of a teen takeover group moving into local waters. Okaloosa deputies say the group from Mobile and Montgomery, Alabama, left behind trash, including glass bottles in the water. Okaloosa Sheriff Eric Aiden says his office has already been warned about another takeover plan for Father's Day weekend. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
And at 7:35, let's check in with John Pickens, who's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. Well, yeah, still rolling accident-free. And let's check our delays. If you're heading into Gulf Breeze on 98 westbound, expect about a five-minute delay. Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, experiencing about a four-minute delay. And let's see here, 9 Mile westbound approaching I-10. About a five-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing those temperatures slightly cooler today with some cloudy skies. 81 degrees with a 10% chance of a stray shower. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. For Thursday, sunny skies, high near 82. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 73. Heading into Friday, 20% chance of a stray shower, high near 83 degrees. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 73. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 73 and cloudy. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with your money now. Sales of Tesla's China-made electric vehicles rose by nearly 40% in May amid a broader recovery in the country's EV market. The automaker said it delivered nearly 86,000 new energy vehicle units from its Shanghai Gigafactory in May. Plus, nearly 1.4 million passenger EVs were sold across China's domestic EV manufacturers last month. That's up 12% year over year. Oil prices are higher this morning by roughly 2% as investors weigh uncertainty over U.S.-Iran peace talks, with the two countries launching fresh strikes at each other. West Texas Intermediate at roughly $95 per barrel, Brent at $97. Perplexity officials told CNBC that the companies that can provide the most economic value from the power their AI uses will ultimately command the highest valuations. They added that whichever company can provide the most token value per watt per user will be the winner in the future. Futures are mixed as investors monitor the Iran war. Dow futures down by more than 100 points. That's your money now.
Is your house your dream home? Or at least, is it on the way there? Maybe it's time for a change. Maybe all you really need to turn your house into your dream home is an appliance upgrade. When it's time for an upgrade, then it's time to visit Topps Appliance in Milton. They're locally owned and operated. They have top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, and stoves to dependable washers and dryers. Topps Appliance carries the brands you know and trust, like GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and more. Topps Appliance in Milton. They offer delivery and installation, something you won't get from the big box stores. And they have many items in stock, so you can take your new appliance the very same day. Topps Appliance. Check them out at toppsappliance.net on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street. Turning your house into your dream home. Topps Appliance.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Good dental health starts at the beginning of life. For infants, wipe their gums with a clean, soft cloth after feeding and make sure to schedule your child's initial dental visit before their first birthday. As your child grows, make sure they brush twice a day and floss before bed, limit sugary snacks and drinks, and schedule regular dental checkups. Focusing on healthy dental habits early helps children grow into healthy adults. Visit floridahealth.gov/dentalhealth to learn more. This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Health and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
This is the station Pensacola turns to first for breaking news.
And I'm Steve Taylor in the newsroom with breaking news right now. The Department of Justice is about to announce an indictment for Cuba's Raul Castro. Let's listen live.
First for breaking news.
Breaking news this afternoon. NASCAR legend driver Kyle Busch has just died.
Keeping you connected to Pensacola and the world. News Radio 92.3.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We have Mayor D.C. Reeves on the line with us, and I want to remind you that this segment is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Call GoLambertTeams.com or visit GoLambertTeams.com. Mayor D.C. Reeves joins us. Hey, Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. All right. We already, last hour, I played a lot of your comments from yesterday with the property tax. But for people who were not listening, I think that is obviously the news of the day. The House and the Senate have, in the Florida legislature, have put on the ballot for November a vote to eliminate or to raise dramatically the homestead exemption over 2 years up to $250,000 on the county or city slice of your ad valorem taxes. They have exempted commercial. They have exempted the school board portion. And so this is going to be a dramatic hit to the budget. You said yesterday it was going to, over 2 years, grow to about a $6 million a year hole. What's this going to mean for the city?
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, we'll have to maybe if all the rules have actually come out, you know, which, again, there's what, even with this amendment, you know, there's this falsehood that somehow means we've worked out all the details. I think it's pretty evident that very few of the details are worked out. So what we have in front of us now is we have an amendment going on a ballot for our voters to decide on something of which they actually don't have the full understanding, or is not even readily available with the full understanding of the consequences are. But in political nature, the whole argument of this is saying, hey, you know, you shouldn't have to rent your home if you own your home. You shouldn't have to continue to pay that. And that in and of itself is not an unfair argument. The problem is we've been doing it this way for, I don't know, 100 plus years. And we're deciding in 72 hours without all the facts, without an analysis, without any details, that we're going to just change that. We're just going to pivot that. And so how this gets politicized is local government officials like me say, oh, well, you know, you want people to rent their homes? You support property tax? If we were having a full analytic discussion about how local government should be funded in the future, including a cut, that would be fine. But that's not the game we're playing here. We're playing a half-baked game here that says, oh, well, as I've called it, you've heard it, Andrew, many times, I've called it the free money approach. It's just, if you promise free money and say, oh, I can't believe this, the local governments and the counties and the cities don't want you to have your money. Okay, well, then I have a response. I wonder if we can get some support on the ballot for this. Why don't we say that the maximum amount you can pay in wind insurance in this state is the same amount of money you pay in tax? Because you can't own a home without paying the wind insurance. So since we're in protection of everybody's pocketbook and there's a much greater impact on wind insurance than there is financially, than there is for homesteaded property tax, let's let the voters decide that too. I think I know how they decide that. That would positively impact everybody, every homestead, every commercial property. So I know that's unrealistic, but that's the point, is that we do not have a fully thought through approach on this. And when you want to rent your own home, I guess if you don't pay your modified homestead taxes because you're now paying for the school board, I guess when they come to repossess your home, you're going to feel okay about it because it was going to go to the schools. because you're still renting it. You're, right. Well, don't worry, you can repossess my home as long as it wasn't going to that local government, as long as it was going to the school board. So again, it doesn't solve what is considered the philosophical issue. There's rulemaking. There's legal issues that are still out there about, I know you mentioned last hour, bonding in the CRA.
Yeah.
That's bonded against future property tax dollars. I'd love to know how that's going to work out legally. And I'm sure there's lots of banks that want to know how that's going to work too. So case in point, this is not about being against reform. I love looking at things and doing them differently. We looked at recycling that was broken and we did it differently. I think we should always be responsible to our citizens and do that. But this is not a responsible way to go about it, to veto an analysis from last year for $1 million to really find out what's happening just so we can bull rush this thing in the last 3 days and hope that the free money approach wins. And so hopefully there'll be enough time between now and the referendum for the information, the true information to get out about how this may impact you. And then truly let the voters decide. But I think you need to let the voters decide when they have all of the information.
Yeah, no, totally agree. And in fact, this is one of the things that I was even saying a little earlier on in the hour is all of the arguments for doing what was done would argue for a full exemption on homestead, would also argue for a full exemption on commercial property, including the rental house. I mean, this is just going to pass the cost of property tax or funding government off to the renter. Those are the people who can't afford to buy houses for themselves, so the lower end of the economic scale. But also would argue for having it on the school board. Like, every single argument that's made in favor of this is an argument for those things as well. And I know the legislators are going to say, well, we did something instead of nothing. Yeah, but it's disingenuous when the only people you're making have to deal with this are people who aren't you and people who aren't the school board. You know, I said, hey, what they should have done instead of canceling the school board slice was split it into two referendums and let us vote independently on those. At least that would give the voters the power to choose, which they keep saying is the big thing that they were advocating for.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that these are the problems that are going to continue to arise day by day, week by week. And, you know, we have legislators. I'm not speaking of anybody specifically. I'm just saying, generally speaking, legislators, I think it's disingenuous to say, let the voters decide. Okay, why don't we let the voters decide on stock trading with Congress? Why don't we let voters decide on capping wind insurance rates? You know what the answer would be? Oh, it's too expensive. What do you mean? Let's tighten our belts, state of Florida. Let's tighten our belts against the insurance company. So what I'm saying is there's lots of things that all of us as voters want. Well, I pay property tax. I'm not saying that off the cuff, saying that your property tax bill is going down is great. But I'd like to know what the consequence of that is. And unfortunately, in this format, it is very intentional. That you don't know what that is. And you know, the state of Florida spends money perfectly. Sales tax is spent perfectly. It's only these governments that don't do it. And I find that funny because we've had only an outside forensic audit and a DOGE audit in the last 6 months that doesn't even scratch the surface of anything substantive around the type of cut that we would of anything that would even approach a $6.2 million recurring cut to our general fund. So it will impact services, bottom line. I don't know how, to answer your initial question.
Right.
We would have to obviously analyze that, and that would be our job, to try to do the best that we could. But this ridiculous, vague argument of, you know, tightening an extra loop on your belt, that is absolutely not true. This will have a significant tangible impact on service.
We'll come back to this in just a second. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves, of course. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you, but if you're on I-10 westbound approaching the Pine Forest exit, you're experiencing a 5-minute delay through that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Okay, back to you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to make sure that you get a chance to answer this directly, which is, somebody will say, dude, you guys have so much money. Whatever money comes in, you find a way to spend it. You're telling me that the state can keep track and even cut budgets with increasing population and with inflation, and you can't do this at the county and the city level. I know you're a business owner. I know you're geared towards that, but tell me I'm wrong. Why can't you do what the state does?
Well, the convenient stat that's always used is, which is completely misleading, is to say, well, here's the increase in population over that. I would love for anybody who makes that argument, you come sit with our procurement office, our city engineers, and this ridiculous notion that cities and counties are immune to inflation. I would actually make a case we are more susceptible to inflation. That I know that as taxpayers, I'm not saying what's more important. What I'm saying is the stats that get thrown around about here's with your population in 2019 versus 2025. Let me ask you, what do you think we were paying firefighters in 2019 versus 2025? What were we paying police officers? How large was their were their pensions? How much is it with steel? How much was wood pre-COVID? What I'm saying is those are the things that drive up costs of operating the government. So again, all I'd ask for is it's not about whether I think we should always be looking to be respectful of the taxpayer. Always. I mean, we have an increased number of jobs at the city since I've been here. I believe that there is fiscal responsibility that has to take place. But running it out in this scenario that just makes wild assumptions about what is or isn't happening at local governments is what's not fair. Let's have a full analysis and then let's decide if there's something to cut. Let's cut it. So I'm not against a cut. I'm not against a cut. All I merely ask for is that we actually do, I don't know, all the research to figure out what when we pull one lever, what happens. And we are literally running an amendment out there that we have no clue what's going to happen if this lever gets pulled.
You know, it's what I hear in the conversation in the Capitol all the time during session. I hear all the time about how there's this delicate balance of pros and cons. You get expert testimony. You get, you know, people weigh in. Amendments get made. Tweaks get done. It goes through the House and the Senate. Then it has to be worked out between the chambers. There's all of this very finely controlled process for producing not stupid legislation, because quick, fast chainsaw legislation is usually going to carry at least as many problems as it solves. And that's what I worry about here is, you know, we just have not done this process the right way. And so we're going to wind up getting what we get. Obviously, time will tell. Let's switch gears just a little bit, Mr. Mayor. I did want to follow up briefly on this. I know you and I talked about it last week, how you have sent demand letters to all of the private parking lot operators and the owners that they have to put up the signs telling people it's not a city lot, giving them, you know, who can talk to them 24 hours a day, all of this kind of stuff. The thought did occur to me while I was listening to you talk about this last week. Could you not fabricate maybe a yellow boot-shaped barrier to put at the entrance to the non-compliant lots in return for the boots that they put on so many people's cars?
Yeah, I love that idea. Kind of like, you know how when you sign for a credit card receipt where now, you know, restaurants or whatever will build like tape a spoon to it so you don't walk out with their pen or their pencil.
Oh.
You know, it's kind of like that. You know, you'd just be like, but and we would have absolute rationale to do it because you've heard me say this so many times on your show. When we polled 5,000 parking users in our downtown, 31% of them, 31%, and that's probably even a higher number because they didn't want to admit it, 31% thought that we own the private lots. The city, the mayor is in charge of the private lots. And that's an enormous number, if you think about it, of how many people. I just got asked on a Facebook interview 2 days ago about why we send tickets in the mail. Well, we don't. That's someone else. So, fortunately, the state took a decent step in requiring by Florida statute on every private parking lot sign right now, which is including in Pensacola. And this will be the funny part because none of you probably noticed it like the way I didn't notice it. Is there all you have to now post all these regulations that say this is not a government lot, you know, all of these different things that the state statute provides. And this is only about 1 year old. Go walk by a private lot right now, bring your microscope and see if you can read that language. I mean, it is intentionally meant for you to never notice it. So what we did at the local level, one lever we do have control over is to say, great, we're going to take that same state statute that requires all of this particular language, except the sign's going to be bigger. It's going to literally be black and white, like a black and white cookie, like half the sign black, half the sign white. But we added a couple other tweaks, like here's the phone number of the private lot owner. Here's the email address of the private lot owner. In that we are making it abundantly clear that when you go park on one of these parking lots, that you are parking on private property. That is their right. As much of the bane of our existence it is, the confusion that is intentionally caused by these companies, then that's what they do, is they call their ticket company, quote unquote, municipal parking.
Right.
I wonder why. It's to create confusion. That's what they want to do. So we're going to try to do our best to fight back and eliminate that confusion. So when you, at least when our citizens and visitors park, downtown. They aren't confused by the idea that they could get a boot, why they get a random $100 ticket in the mail that isn't even legally binding. All of those different things, we want them to be as aware as possible. That's it. And as long as they're aware and they choose to park there, that is private lot owner's business, and that's the parking management company's business, as far as I'm concerned.
I think what we maybe could do is take some of those red anti-vehicle defense devices for the parades, paint them yellow, and use those. maybe that's our solution.
Right.
All right, we always like to end with a lightning round for the mayor. First question for you today is, tell me something that a person might do that would tell you immediately you're dealing with a good person, like good citizen, Boy Scout kind of behavior.
Oh, man. You know, I feel like just their demeanor. When I'm a big first impression person. Just, you know, their what level of welcoming demeanor they have.
Oh,
not that
okay.
You can't be fooled, but I feel like there's kind of a sixth sense of you know, truly good people just in how they interact in the very first few seconds.
Well, remember your Shakespeare. One may smile and smile and be a villain, but I agree with you. You can usually get a sense of people quick off. How full is your fridge? Empty enough that you could put anything in there, watermelon or bigger. Medium, you got to move things to get to stuff, but you can still live in it. Or like things are falling out because it's so heavily packed in.
We probably don't go past medium well on that. You know, but ironically enough, Sydney was cleaning out the fridge this morning, so.
Just in anticipation of this. That's wonderful. Mayor D.C. Reeves, as always, thank you so much for the time. Great to have you, sir. I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again soon. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We've got an accident that happened on I-10 westbound right before you get to the Pine Forest exit. So just be aware of that. Right in that construction zone. And let's see here. 98 westbound headed into Gulf Breeze. Experiencing a 6-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Need to move across town, across country, or even across the globe? Trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BBB accredited, and agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sinise Foundation. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Go LambertTeam.com.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Tired of your roof playing peekaboo with the rain? Call Quality Roofing. They fix leaks faster than your neighbor borrows your lawnmower.
Thanks, neighbor.
Whether it's storm damage or shingles gone wild, their expert team handles it all, no duct tape required. With top quality materials and service so good, even your mother-in-law will approve, especially their lifetime workman warranty. Don't wait for your ceiling to start drip-dropping. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. Quality Roofing Solutions, because your house deserves a hat that actually fits.
This June, Osceola Golf Course turns 100 years old. Step into a century of stories with friends and family at Osceola Golf Course. Join Osceola Golf Course this weekend for the centennial celebration with a story slam, great food, and a free family golf clinic. All weekend, don't miss the $100 tee time special. Range balls included, up to 4 players. Osceola Golf Course, 100 years strong and still swinging. Osceola Golf Course is owned and managed by Pensacola Parks and Recreation. Visit OsceolaGolf.com for more information.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Keeping you connected to Pensacola and the world.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
The White House Reception Committee greeted the prime rib roast minister, and I do the cha-cha like a sissy girl. I like a do da cha-cha.
Oh, man. Bruce Almighty is so good.
That's amazing.
I know. 7:59 News Radio 92.3. We've got David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Canada is urging the United States and Mexico to extend the USMCA free trade agreement for another 16 years. Canadian Trade Minister Dominic LeBlanc says the pact benefits all three countries. Mexico's also voiced support for that extension. Of course, that comes as President Trump has continued making a few comments about Canada potentially becoming the 51st state.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, and the Supreme Court has allowed Alabama to go forward with the one black voting district only map, the one that the state has been wanting to use for quite some time, in accordance with Calais decision.
You're listening to